Blog Talk Radio.
Listen as your day unfolds. Challenge what the future holds. Try and keep your head up to the sky. Lovers, they may cause you tears. Go ahead, release your fears. Stand up and be counted. Don't be ashamed to cry. You gotta be bad. You gotta be bold. You gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard. You gotta be tough. You gotta be stronger. You gotta be cool. You gotta be calm. You gotta stay together. All I know is love will save the day. Herald what your mother said. Read the books your father read. Try and solve the puzzles in your own sweet time. Some may have more cash than you. Others have a different view. My, oh, my, hey, hey, hey. You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard, you gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger. You gotta be cool, you gotta be calm, you gotta stay together. All I know is love will save the day. Time asks no questions, it goes on without you. Leaving you behind if you can't stand the pain. The world keeps on spinning, can't stop it if you try to. The best part is danger staring you in the face. Oh, then listen as your day unfolds.
You gotta be
challenged, what the future
holds.
Try to keep your head up.
You gotta be tough.
You gotta be stronger. Love is they may cause you.
You gotta be calm.
Go ahead and
stay together.
All I know is love will save the day. Listen as your day unfolds.
You gotta be
challenged, what the future holds. Try to keep your head
up. You gotta be tough.
You gotta be stronger.
Gotta be strong. You gotta be wiser. Well, I won't go there. I don't profess to be a singer, radio talk show host, advocate for the people. Yes. Singer? Not so much. Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark, and yes, again, you are at the right place at the right time. And I truly thank you for taking the time to tune in to Progressive News Weekly again. Here, well, where we bring you news and information that's gathered from around the country and sometimes from around the world. News intended to encourage you and inspire you and, well, empower you and instill you to get involved and make a difference. Take some action. After all, this is a country supposedly for you, by you, and of you. And we like to say that this is news for you, by you, and of you, because much of the information and topics and guests that we bring week in and week out comes from you, the listener, and we truly appreciate that. So with that, we encourage you to continue to reach out and let us know of individuals or groups or topics that are not hitting the mainstream, or if they are, they're being presented with a political or business spin or not given enough time to truly be appreciated. And we'll certainly vet the information, do the background investigation, because we pride ourselves on bringing you real news, news that you can truly count on as having foundation. And with that, whatever our topic is, we tend to bring a guest that is well-versed in that topic or subject matter to contribute to the dialogue. The dialogue involves you, the listener, and we are live and always have been, and that is our intention to remain that way. Of course, we are available in the archives after each and every program, and you can always reach the archives by going on your computer and going to the website blogtalkradio.com/Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D. And then when you get to that site, simply scrolling through all the various programs until you see Daryl Clark's Progressive News Weekly amongst the many programs. And all of my programs are there for the last year or so by date and by topic and by guest. So do take a look. I'm sure there's something there that you'll find very interesting that you've missed. Well, most of you, because we do have some listeners that I'm so honored and pleased to say rarely miss a program, and they are sure to let me know that. The dial-in information, if you wish to participate or have a question or comment in the dialogue, is 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. And we love to have listener participation because it really is about you, the listener. It's about us. No understatement when we say news for you, by you, and of you. For those of you who missed last week, I truly encourage you to go to the archives. It was a blast. We had Dr. Eddie Taylor and Mr. John Brinkley, and it was our last program of February, which was Black History Month. And of course, that's no border for us on Progressive News, that being February. In fact, we're going to carry right into March with news and information regarding Black history, as we do 12 months out of the year at some point during the month. This week, I'm really thrilled because I'm afforded to have a guest who's been on before, and it's been a while, even before our hiatus that we had here on Progressive News Weekly. And whenever she's here, she's met with rave reviews. And do let us know what you feel about the guest that we have, because I truly share it with them. And I'm sure it's helpful for them as they move forward in their endeavors to know, you know, how they influenced or impacted the listening audience. So, yeah, I'm dancing around who our guest is, as I do each week, because I want to encourage the listener, you, to make sure you're on the mail list. because I do send out the program announcements sometime the day of the program, but I try to at least a day or two before the program so that you'll have an idea of who the guest is and if it's someone or some topic that in particularly you're interested in. You can be sure to set your phone to alarm you and tell your friends and family and colleagues to be sure to tune in. And so, if you'd like to get that heads up about the program, you'll want to send me an email to daryl_cla18@msn.com. And again, that email address is daryl_cla18@msn.com. So now that I've sort of put the carrot out and have you anticipating, for those of you who are not on the mail list, I can go forward and let you know who our special guest is. She comes to us out of the Midwest, my stomping ground, albeit not Ohio, but a neighbor, Detroit, out of Michigan. And she comes grounded and well-versed and packed full of knowledge and insight, flavored with experience. She's a sociologist, a professor of sociology, an author, and a humanitarian. And she's a therapist, consultant. I can truly, her, she's like a who's who. I was looking at her bio even just earlier in the week and just reminded that she's a gem. She really is. I know you're wondering who it is that I'm referring to again, and I purposely do that because I really want you all to make sure that you're tuning in to my announcements. But she's been noted nationwide. She's been on Fox, CNN, BET, and numerous other mainstream media. I don't believe she's given the time that she deserves, but that's mainstream media for you. So again, I'm honored to be able to bring her here and have true, grounded, in-depth dialogue about what she has to share. As a motivational speaker, researcher, and consultant, and of course, sociologist and educator. This month is Women's History Month, so I'm especially thrilled that she's opening up our Women's History Month programming and with a special insight from an African-American perspective. As last month being African-American History Month, we always roll that into our March programming. So we get a twofer tonight. We get a twofer. The guest that I'm referring to is none other than Dr. Lynn Lewis. And this evening, I'm going to sort of challenge Dr. Lewis, as we've come to know each other, as I have with so many of our guests. We've become sort of colleagues, I feel as though, if I can lift myself up to her level, which is something I'm not really doing, but for the purposes of tonight, we'll go there. And I want to just delve a little bit more into who Dr. Lynn Lewis is, especially as I peered more deeply into her bio and get a little bit of an idea what makes her tick as a woman, but also as an African-American woman. And I invite all of you to participate in this dialogue, even though many of you tell me afterwards or send me emails or text me, "Daryl, Mr. Clark, I was just enthralled with the conversation. I just wanted to hear more of your guests. So if that's the case, that's fine too, but you're more than welcome, and we encourage you to participate in the dialogue. So I'd like to just start out, first of all, welcoming to the airwaves Dr. Lynn Lewis. Dr. Lewis, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly.
Thank you, Daryl. It's my pleasure to join you and your audience.
So we've had some conversation in the past about, well, African-American women in particular. I want to back up a little bit and just speak more general about women and in our society, and more specifically in here in America. And you can broaden that if you'd like, but I just want to put something out there to you in general to kind of get you warmed up a little bit. And don't worry about time, because I have a leeway to extend if we need to.
Okay.
So, Women's History Month, I don't, first of all, believe it doesn't get the attention that it deserves. I mean, African American History Month, you have Spanish Heritage Month, and, you know, we celebrate, well, coming up later this month, the Irish, St. Patrick's, and so forth, in terms of various segments of our society. But I dare say I don't believe that Women's History Month gets the attention that it needs. And when I think about Women's History Month, I can't help but think, when I consider, and I have sisters who I love dearly, they are my heart, along with my daughter, but I can't help but think that women get a double impact, African-American women specifically.
That's
because
true.
Because women in general are, you know, feeling that oppression and ostracization. Then you add on top of that, being an African-American, there has to be something to that. So back off a little bit initially from the African-American piece and tell me, what's your perspective of this concept of Women History Month, something that should be given more attention to? What does that mean to you as a woman, considering all that women have been? I can talk to it. I can read volumes and volumes.
Right,
but
right.
A woman, I can't speak to it.
It means so much to me, as it does other women, because women historically in this country and actually throughout the world have been overlooked, underrated, oftentimes dismissed for all of their efforts. And if you look behind the scene, when you have very great movements such as, let's use the civil rights movement in the 60s, women played pivotal roles in that movement and the success of that movement. And I'm honored to be on your show to talk about all that women have done to bring forth a humanitarian kind of image of women, and all that women have done, not just for women, but what women have done includes men, and it includes children, and it includes raising up all of the social institutions in our society. So women have been politically involved, educationally involved, militarily involved, and even though their involvement was critical to the success of whatever mission was going on, they still were not given the kind of recognition that they should have been given. So, Daryl, I'm just really honored to be able to talk about this on your show and highlight women, because if we look historically at women, you know, even though this country was founded in 1776, all women in this country were not given the right to vote until 1920, and that was mainly just on paper, because clearly African-American women still had struggles voting. And in 1920, Native American women weren't even citizens. They were still wards of the state under the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And Hispanic women were not really allowed to vote, even though it was law. So you had that struggle. And that even came about as a result of the women's suffrage movement, which included not only white women, but African-American women as well. So when I look at the history of women in this country, it just shows me how you must persevere, you must be determined and motivated, and in time you may get your just due. And this is what women of all different backgrounds must do, stay focused and stay determined.
Well, you know, I think there are a number of individuals, I'd say especially those who are men, because I believe women probably have a strong idea. They probably focused on that in their history lessons. Wow, 1920. But I think a number of folks really realize that that hasn't been that long ago.
That's right. That has not been that long ago at all. We are talking about 97 years.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, that's not that long ago. That's less than a century. And women have been here as long as the men have been here, but yet still were not given the same rights, privileges, and due process of law. And even today, Daryl, on an average, for every $1 earned by men, women still only earn 72 cents. So we have a long way to go when we talk about economic equality. We have a long way to go when we talk about political equality. We see the disparity in the House of Senate and the House of Representatives. We see the disparity with the 9 U.S. Supreme Court justices. Well, now we have only 8 since they would not allow President Obama to fill that seat. But we see disparities when it comes to top political positions that are held. We still see the glass ceiling in existence, even though a few women have been able to put a little crack in it in some corporations, such as General Motors, as an example, now has a female CEO. But we still have very much unequal representation of women at the top levels in all of the institutions and in corporate America. And it is not because they are less qualified. It is because of the sexism that is in the system and when that is institutionalized in the system. So it's ingrained in the social structure. And when it comes to black women, you have the double whammy of not only sexism, but also racism being institutionalized. So black women have a lot to overcome still, even though we have made strides over history time.
Wow. Yeah, I truly, no question in my mind, believe that too many people don't understand that. And then, you know, combined with all the potential that exists, I mean, a mind is a mind. There's nothing that's ever been proven that, in fact, I'm going to have to head in a moment in terms of intellect. In terms of intellect, there's never been anything to say that, you know, women don't have the same intellect. And when we start thinking about, you know, the movie that is should be just mandatory now that just came out a couple of weeks ago with the
Hidden Figures.
You know, Hidden Figures, yes.
Yes.
That's a prime example of the capabilities that women have. And as I said, you know, as a brother and to a to a women and a father and a son. I have a true appreciation, and that's not just lip service, because, you know, all of those women that I just referred to have a significant influence, and that isn't even to touch upon the aunts and the colleagues that I've met over the years, the close friends and associates, and even up into the relationship that I have with you, out of respect for everything that you have accomplished and are still doing. I just don't even want to imagine that it is what it is, but that's the reality of it.
Yeah, it really is, Daryl. And, you know, in addition to the difficulty of cracking that ceiling, a lot of people don't realize that concept came about actually almost more than 25 years ago. Wall Street Journal wrote an article talking about women and minorities, ethnic minorities, not being able to move beyond a certain point in corporate America. Well, after the whole glass ceiling concept came out, then you had the glass wall. And what the glass wall does to hinder women and ethnic minorities is it prevents people from women and ethnic minorities from being laterally promoted. Corporations are so complex and so huge, you don't just need vertical promotions upwardly. You need horizontal promotions because you need a broad base of knowledge of all the complexities and divisions within the corporate structure. So if women are denied the lateral moves to get a broad-based knowledge when they apply for upwardly vertical moves, they are then told, well, you don't have enough broad-range experience. And I find that really interesting because that still exists today. And in addition, what we have discovered is that you have men who will benefit from being in a profession that is heavily dominated by women, but you don't have the reverse happening. For an example, if you have men who are nurses or social workers or elementary teachers or in cosmetology, a hairstylist, you will find that those men, when it's time to for someone to be promoted, that those men are promoted faster, and they call that they are on the glass escalator track. So they are promoted faster than the women because they benefit from being in a predominantly female profession. But if you flip the coin over and you look at women who are architects or engineers or accountants, you don't find that same thing happening. As a matter of fact, those women are placed in positions where they are really ostracized oftentimes or overlooked in spite of whatever talents and degrees and qualifications and experiences they bring to the table.
You know, that brings to mind that whole stereotypical shoehorning of girls into certain areas.
Right.
You know, girls are not supposed to build engines, which leads to interest in, you know, engineering.
Right.
They're supposed to go to the hood, you know, with dad, you know, tinkering. They're supposed to be in playing with the dollhouse, or, you know, with the ironing board and the dolls, and I understand the concept of the dolls because, you know, there's a maternal aspect to being a woman that a man could never fulfill.
Right.
You know, and I'm not homophobic or anything like that, but
I understand.
You know, be something to see the day that they start birthing. I mean, you know, so that has not happened, and I don't see that happening at this point. where, you know, because you have those who are transvestites and those kinds of things, and you have gay and lesbian, and I'm not homophobic, and I could go into the, you know, I know folks and I respect folks who, you know, make that decision.
Right.
Or feel that they have no choice in it. But the point that I'm getting there is that there's an aspect of being a complete female that no man can ever fulfill. And so I understand
yes.
that, you know, presenting a little girl with a baby doll, because at some point they very possibly, if not probably statistically, may be a mother. But to limit a young girl, a child, or a young lady to be steered in certain areas only, I myself take issue with that.
Exactly.
And I feel that still takes place. Is it as prevalent? Has it gotten better? What's your thought on that?
It's gotten a lot better because you've had women, again, cracking those areas in college. They're entering engineering in all phases. You know, it's like we have had women entering those fields all along, but they've been few and far between. We had a black woman, Marjorie Lee Brown, who she actually earned one of the earliest women in this country to earn a doctorate degree in mathematics, but we didn't have a plethora of women. But now you will see a significant increase in women in fields like architecture, all phases of engineering and accounting, as well as, say, lawyers and medical doctors. So this is all good news because women will maybe go in certain areas. They may have a greater likelihood of going in certain areas to practice medicine than, say, some men may want to go into. So you need that gender balance in order to move toward a higher level of service for all people, irrespective of their backgrounds or irrespective of their gender or sexual orientation. So all of that movement of women taking on these different occupations that were not as available to them in the past, all of that is real good news for everybody, men and women.
Where do you think society is, relatively speaking, over the last 30 years, 20 to 30 years? So I'm really talking recent history. 20 years is not
right.
that long. In terms of the influence on women by media and society. What's your thought about that? And I'll be very frank about where I'm headed, and I talk about this frequently, I'm proud to say.
Okay.
That I can remember that in, I want to say, the 80s, it seemed like music began to take a little bit of a, maybe late 80s, a little bit of a twist towards women bashing. And I'm speaking hip-hop mm-hmm. and rap in particular.
Right.
I remember hearing some really, really degrading, mm-hmm. you know, I would say underground, but it's
yes.
become more mainstream now.
Yeah, you're right.
And I guess the concern I have is that I seem to see women being less feminine, and I don't know if that's influence that I see, and some of it could be simple fashion, but I think it goes beyond fashion. Like, I'm seeing a lot of, you know, combat boots, you know, on girls.
Uh-huh.
And fatigues, and again, I think it seems like it goes beyond the fashion piece. Does a woman have to give up her femininity to be able to cross over to male fields of study, or is it a combination of trying to assimilate as a male, more masculinity, and also a combination of what's been allowed to be proliferated in the music that's being put out. What's your thought in the last 20 years about?
Well, the culture of women in this country took a dramatic change during the 60s civil rights movement, and then during the early 70s. For white women, Betty Friedan's book, The Feminine Mystique, was like their door opening, welcome to society outside of the home type book, even though black women had always been outside of the home because black women understood that their husbands had undergone a significant amount of economic discrimination and they needed help. And so they knew their husbands needed the income supplemented. So black women have been out there. I used to say during the early 70s, while white women were burning bras, black women were trying to get money to buy bras. So that's a whole different ball game. But when we begin to talk about how has the image of women changed, of course the image of women has broadened, but so has the image of men. The image of men, there was once upon a time there was a very narrow definition of what was feminine and a very narrow definition of what was masculine. Well, after the 60s and 70s, you began to see a broadening of those definitions. And so I oftentimes say that there's a time for women to be ladies and there's a time for women to be women when it's taking care of business. So there are different kind of times. Now, when it comes to the way women dress for all groups has changed dramatically in the last 20 and 30 years. If we go back to, let's say, 1985 to 2000 on up to 2017, we've seen remarkable changes in dress. But that fits the broadening of the definition of femininity and the definition of masculinity, and so the culture has changed. Now, when it comes to the music, we have kind of a reciprocal relationship. In other words, the men have influenced the music, and so have the women. Women are not exempt from what men are saying, but men are not exempt from what they are saying about women either. It's kind of like one influences the other. So when I hear some of the lyrics putting down women, what I find most unfortunate is that most of those rappers are black men. I also find very unfortunate when I hear a lot of black comedians who put down black women. You would be hard-pressed to find white male comedians who put down white women. So I think when you begin to talk about that in an ethnic racial context, we have to begin to ask ourselves, do we talk too negatively about black women in our culture, and if we do, why do we do that? And are black women influencing that or what? So I think those are legitimate critical questions to raise.
Yeah, it ties back to so many conversations I've had over the years, and so many names just kept flat. Came flashing at me, including yours, and of course, that's going to lead me later on in this conversation into some of the research you've done in your most recent book, which I'm going to
right.
come to in a moment. I can't help but think about that. I think about even Dr. Eddie Taylor, who was on last week, talking about the day the crabs got out.
Oh, yes.
The revitalization of black America, in which he
mm-hmm.
talks about not to get out the crab in the barrel mentality. And
right.
I believe the conversation we're having, it bodes to his model, which says that we could do more. He's not putting down And he talks about specifically organizations. He's not putting down the organizations that exist in comparison to what they did in the past, because he talks about sororities and fraternities and civic community organizations like ACLU and SNCC and NAACP and those in the Masons and other and churches and mosques but his thought is, what more can we do? Because we're not winning enough.
Exactly.
And so obviously more needs to be done. You know, if you're cooking something and it's not cooking, you got to turn the heat up because it's not cooking. It's something's got to be in.
You better believe it.
So
that's true. Thinking,
what more, you know, can be done? And I think about Dr. Joy DeGruy, who's been on the program many times, and post-traumatic slave syndrome, her book.
Right.
You know, which, let's go back with that whole Willie Lynch thing. Was there a piece not just that tied into black on black, but gender-wise,
right,
black male, black female? You know, when you start peeling it back, was there some of that specifically in the mix? Because if you can influence that, you can destroy a culture or a race. You know,
that's
it's bad
true.
Enough to say if you can turn blacks on blacks, but if you
right.
can turn gender within a race, and I don't think much emphasis has been given on that aspect of that crab in a barrel mindset. So you make a very, very, very good point there that really needs to be discussed. In fact, what we've
no
been
question.
Talking about. Go ahead.
No, I just was saying that we do need to analyze why is it that too often and too many African Americans have the first thought is a negative thought. Why can't it the first thought be a positive thought? When women talk about men, why can't their first thought about men be positive? And when men talk about black women, why can't their first thought be positive? And I think we, you know, the external social forces outside of, you know, black people's relationship to black people have clearly impacted on black people's attitudes and behavior, because none of us are islands, you know, separated from the society in which we live and the institutions to which we are connected. So having said that, all of the racism and sexism that's institutionalized in these institutions affect the people who are in these institutions, us. We are affected by it, and I think the more cognizant we become about that, the more conscious raising we become, the better off we are able to fight off the negative images and the negative thoughts, and the more we are able to promote a positive thoughts and a collective consciousness that raises people up and shows all of the assets and achievements and accomplishments that African-American women and men have made. That is where we need to go in order to free ourselves psychologically and mentally and emotionally.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say that. I was reading something this morning about choices, and it wasn't related to race or gender.
Okay.
I read affirmations in the morning. It's just a good thing, I believe. And,
oh, yes.
It's just if it's just a verse out the Bible, I'm a proud Christian.
Oh, yes, same here.
We have those who are agnostic, and that's okay. We have those dialogues. As long
yeah,
as you're grounded.
That's fine. Atheists, too.
I understand there's higher authority.
Right.
And sometimes it's the Bible, actually, just about every morning at the Bible, but occasionally I have so many sources. You know, you get emails and things. And I was reading one that said, there's something wrong with everything and there's something right with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is, no matter what it is that you're coping with, you could find something wrong with it. You know, you could mess with a call and get a new job and say, you know, but this is further away, and you could be making twice as much money, and you know, this is 10 minutes longer, or, you know, you find something wrong, or you can find something right with everything as well. I mean, you could be told, you know, you have this situation where we're going to decrease your pay. Well, maybe it's time to look and doing that business that you've been talking about doing. You know,
exactly.
So it really struck me specifically and very definitely. It's not that I haven't thought about those things before, but just to have it as an affirmation. Whenever I read an affirmation, I try to let it just simmer on me all day so it can get down in my core and my fiber and just become a part of who I am, especially if I find it something that enlightening and can really be life-enhancing. But I hear what you're saying about why can't we just first and foremost, and the answer is we can. Take a positive aspect. Take a
positive aspect
on that, because the media would have us take a negative. We're portrayed as thugs. When you look at the evening and the afternoon and in the nightly news and the morning news, you'll see, you know, invariably some black that's done something, and disproportionately we're portrayed in the media as, you know, criminals and insane and problematic. And so it's going to be up to us. Those things exist. We can never deny that. And a part of that is, you know, just the nature of us not getting our 40 acres and a mule and the oppression over the last 200 years that we've been through basically produced that. And so it may, relatively speaking, predominate who we are, relatively speaking, to other races just because of what we've had to endure. But yet, even if it's at a smaller, relatively speaking, percentage that we have positive things to look to, we have that choice to look to those things. If we have 30% positive and 70% that are not so positive, we have a choice to just focus on that. Not to say we're putting head in the sand to say this is something we don't want to think about. No, because underlying your positive aspect or approach or mindset, I believe you can be working towards correcting those things. But
totally
in doing
agree.
With a positive attitude versus doing it with a negative attitude. In other words, I believe I'm saying, can we not fix something that's wrong with a positive attitude as opposed to fixing something that's wrong with a negative attitude? They're really different things. You know, both of them, you're fixing something wrong. I just believe and a lot of this is coming from what you're saying, that if you start to fix things with a negative attitude, it may take away from ultimately how effectively and efficiently and timely you'll be able to get it fixed.
That's true. Very true. Very true. But
so
when you have a positive outlook, you have a greater chance of having positive consequences for everybody. And that should be the goal. Positive consequences for everybody.
Yeah, and you being you know, a consultant and working with corporations, I would suspect that you have found that the broader society has been so aware of that, for them to appreciate to bring you in as an African-American woman, you know, the likes of them. And I know you work with Ford and DuPont and General Motors and Chrysler and other 500 companies around the country to bring you in just to talk about some of those. Can you share some of that with the listening audience?
Yes, I remember when I was at Ford Motor one time. I had to do a study on self-directed work teams, and it was interesting that when I first went in there, I didn't know that the men had gotten together and said that, you know, some woman coming with a PhD is going to try to tell us what to do. And they had actually gotten together to, in their body language and verbal language, to reject me. But I always believe that I can overcome whatever barriers that somebody has set before me. So I came early and I got to know each one of the men by name, and calling somebody by his or her name, it can be powerful. And I said, well, let me make sure I got the kinks out of my brains and let me see if I can remember your name. So that kind of diffused a lot of the plan of not accepting me, and everything went very well. One of the best experiences I've had. And I use that oftentimes as an example of, don't let an initial negative force stop you from still being positive. Now, I could have attacked them as they were initially trying to attack me, but rather I acted as if I didn't even know that that's what they were doing and went on with my program. And I tell people, I don't care what agenda other folk have. You may not be able to change or impact their agenda, but you definitely can impact your own agenda. So if we stay, have our agenda, and we stay focused on that agenda, and we stay focused on our character, and not allow someone else's nonsense to take us out of our character, we will all benefit in the end.
And, you know, I'll step back at a few thousand feet and say, is that not how we survived as African Americans for centuries, or for at least decades?
Yes, yes,
in our
exactly.
little community, we just
right.
said, okay, got us down in our what some people would call ghettos, but that's what that whole village concept about. But we're losing a lot of that, you know, a lot of that came through integration and trying to assimilate. We're losing some of the things that got us to where we are, generally speaking. And
Right. And
the part that concerns me about this is getting to the male and female piece is the huge increase in you know, single households
right.
and society coming to accept that more. And I would like to ask you, as an intellect, your opinion about a theory I have, is that
okay.
some societies can withstand more strain and degradation than others. In other words, I'll just use single households, for example.
Right.
If you are impoverished, can your culture sustain, withstand an influx societal wise of a significant increase in single family households, as well as a race or culture that has more of a foundation? Use Asians or Caucasians as an example. With us having, similar to the women, dollar to 72 cents, of 72 cents to a dollar for a man, who averaged African Americans, now backing up a little bit, veering a bit away from the women and black female, if you were to average per capita of an African American family versus a Asian counterpart or white counterpart, you'll find that there's a less of a resource. And so
True.
It seems to me that you would not be able to withstand some of those degrading aspects that are affecting all of society, such as more single parent households. So it would impact you to a greater degree because you're in neighborhoods where the school systems are already degraded. So if now you have single households on top of that increasing exponentially, it seems that that would impact you greater than maybe in an Asian community, which they may be influenced by the society and what's on television now and the perversion that's influencing everyone. Let's not mistake it. It's not just influencing blacks, but it's not maybe impacting other cultures and races as much as it's impacting blacks. What do you think about that?
If you put together a single head of household with poverty, you have several issues that you may not have if you put together a single head of household with wealth. If I'm wealthy and I have a single and I'm a single mother, then I have the resources to hire a nanny, a babysitter, to stay with my children when I must go to work. If I am poor economically, I don't have that resource. So what concerns me the most is the number of children who are left alone at home when you're in a single-headed household and the parent does not have the resources to have somebody there. There's no supervision. I grew up in a double-headed household. My parents worked different shifts to make sure that one of them would always be there. Of course, as a child, I didn't like it. I wanted, hopefully, at least a day where I could sneak and do something, but I didn't have that opportunity, and I was a decent child. My point is, when we look at what's happening to some of our teenagers, particularly our black male teenagers, a lot of that is because there's nobody home while the parent is working. So the male has more negative temptations in society than the female. For an example, if you are asked to do something that is negative, and you refuse to do it, they will put your masculinity on the table and say, Daryl, what kind of man are you to not be able to handle this? Well, if a female refuses to do it, they don't put our femininity on the table and say, what kind of woman? So there are more dangers out there awaiting men than there are awaiting our boys than they are awaiting our little girls. So even though I'm concerned about both, but what happens is if the mother or father has to work and it's a single-headed household, the children are left alone too much. That's a reality. And that means that they are not going to have a certain focus about things that they should be doing. Whereas if you interject wealth, then you can pay somebody to be with them and somebody to monitor their behavior and monitor, for the most part, what they're looking at on TV and what they're looking at on the Internet. So that's just one of a major issue that is there. And then, of course, you have a lack of community support, usually because if you have communities now are very class and race-based. Once upon a time, if you were African-American, you could be a laborer and live next door to a dentist. You know, we had multi-class people in the same neighborhood, but today we are pretty much monolithic when it comes to class and when it comes to race. So if you have the same people at the same struggle in the same community, it becomes difficult for one to be able to lend support to the other. So those are just two major issues that we have with that situation.
Well, you've affirmed what I've believed and thought, and I appreciate that input there. Being back to the women history piece of
right.
Of blog, it seems like that scenario that we're talking about puts an extra stress on an African American woman versus a non-African American woman per capita wise.
Yes, because exactly, exactly. You don't have the resources. You can't. It's just so much you can do without certain resources.
Is it not similar that the average black female makes less than the average white female?
And that compounds the problem. That's what I'm saying. That's just a triple whammy. She's black, she's female, and she earns less. So it just puts more stress and strain on her existence and those who are in her household.
So then that comes back to the importance of the awareness of this dialogue so that contrary to what's happening, our black men will be more supportive of our black females.
Exactly.
Because we can't look, and I appreciate white, Asian, Latino that's understands and is ready to get in the boat and fight the battle. But at the end of the day, we are responsible for ourselves.
That's right. No question about it. The buck initially should stop with us, as it should with any ethnic and racial group. It should first start from within and work itself out.
Yes, that's exactly
it. It's the same way the parents should first be the primary caregivers of their children, and everybody else is a surrogate, just a supplement. But you can't be there supposedly holding down the main role, and you're going to be supplemental to it. You need to be the main driving force.
Well, the concern I have is this kind of conversation is not enough on mainstream. And you can catch it on a Sunday morning, on the Monday, on the Black Talk show that comes on once a week.
Right.
It's not a part of the stream enough.
No,
so
it's
I
not.
I believe we have, to have our own mainstream. That's why
That's
I
true.
Program the way I program.
And we appreciate you for this. Trust me.
Well, I wish that, we could, and it's not just about my program. I just wish that we could support one another more in terms of these types of programs. I know there are other internet programs, and I reach out where I can to support others. But I just think that we need to be able to have our own. I really
no
believe
question.
At the end of that's be our solution, Dr. Lewis. I just don't see society giving it up. I think
no,
so
it's
there
like,
are those Aryan.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't
whatever it is we get, we have to just we have to take it.
Yeah.
Nobody is giving up whatever power they have. Whatever power people relinquish, it was taken from them. They didn't have any other choice, at least not at the moment. But what we have to guard against is somebody saying, okay, I'll share this part of the power stage with you, let's say in 2017, and in 2030 take it all back. That's been the pattern
in this
country.
Whereas if you're not taking a hand out, you don't have to worry about somebody snatching like you just described.
Yes.
We still spend our dollars outside of the community.
Yes, yeah.
I think the major piece of the issue.
Yeah, we have it's so many layers of things, as you're bringing out, that we need to do.
Correct. So back to the aspect of how our youth, our influence. I want to segue to the book some. Don't hate the player, learn the game.
Learn the game.
I hear the laughter there. And the book, it's very in-depthful. I've read it.
Okay.
And there's some humor. I have to tell you, there's some humor.
Yes.
Was that planned? Because
yeah, I wanted people, Laughter brings on some stress relief, and when you relieve some stress, you think better. So I wanted to have sections in it where people could chuckle so that they wouldn't be so stressed and they wouldn't be so uptight, and if they aren't uptight and they aren't stressed out, they won't miss the message. I want them to be, have some. It's like I wouldn't want to date a man who couldn't make me laugh. You know what I'm saying? He needs to be able to make me laugh sometimes. So I was kind of thinking about that. Well, if I'm writing about men and women in relationships, I need to have something in here that'll make folk chuckle in the midst of whatever joys and grief that are in here.
Well, I have to ask, because, we're going to talk about these in the weeks and months ahead. We're going to to do a book review in one session. But I have to ask, as we've been talking about, and for those who are just joining us, and I see engineers telling me the numbers are kind of blowing up here towards the end of our conversation. If you just join us, we're talking with Dr. Lynn Lewis, professor of sociology, author. We're actually getting ready to talk about her latest book, Don't Hate the Player, Learn the Game, How to Spot Ineligible Bachelors. But she's also a therapist and sociologist and consultant for corporations for conflict resolutions, and just truly being a catalyst for positive change. And if you're just tuning in, you need to really go to the archives and catch the beginning, because what we're about to talk about is platforming on the beginning of this dialogue, which we started talking about Women History Month, and then we kind of segued off into specifically African Americans and how they fold into that whole aspect of women's history and the particular stresses that impact African American women historically. And so with that, I ask you, does this book stem from a concern of women evolving to be able to not be distracted and to fulfill, their greatest potential? Is there part of that in this? Because if you can avoid some of the things that are in this book in terms of being a woman, it seems like that would be helpful for having.
Exactly. I tell you what, Daryl, it started with some of my students at the University of Detroit, Mercy. I would have live talk once a month, and the students would ask questions anonymously. Their names would not be on the sheet, but the questions were overwhelmingly about intimate relationships, about the women would ask questions about the men and vice versa. But, of course, the overwhelming majority were women talking about men. And some of the students came up to me one day and said, you need to do something with all these data that you have been collecting. And I was also in private practice, and I noticed similarities between some of the issues the students had and some of the issues the people in private practice. So I pulled together data from both settings, and then I saw a parallel that men were able to do a lot of manipulative things to women that women allowed them to do. Okay? So what I wanted to do was bring to bear to the women what they allowed men to do, because some of those things they allowed men to do to them, they'll turn around and complain about the man for doing it, but the man had given them options. And then there were also men who would deceive women. So I've separated these groups into the truth tellers And these are the men who let the women know they are players. They're not interested in a committed relationship or marriage. They give them enough information to make an objective, informed decision. And then there are the betrayers. And the betrayers are led by deceit. They present themselves as somebody they are not. Now, I tell the women that it's not too much initially you can do about the betrayers because they are so masterful at their game that you may not see it unravel until, say, 6 months in. But when you see it, you need to run to the borders, okay? And so the betrayers would be the silent deceiver, the low-down, down-low player, and the philophobic player, which represents men who have a fear of falling in love and being in love. And then some of the truth tellers would be the gravy train player. Those are men who women are keeping, and the women know that that's what they're doing, and they choose to do it. And then there are as-is men, and these are men who may not have a job or a car or a place to live, and the women take them in. And so my thing to women is, it's written, all of these interviews were done by men, but it's written for women. And so what I want women to understand is simply because a man is single does not mean that he's eligible for a committed relationship or marriage, because eligibility is a state of mind.
That's why you have the subtitle, How to Spot Ineligible.
That's right. That's exactly why. So they will understand, if you know what to weed out, you'll know what to look at. and I tell people, it's like when the summertime comes here, you see people in my neighborhood, we're all outside, we're getting all the weeds out of our lawns. Well, if I know the difference between the weeds and the grass, I can have a pretty lawn. You follow me? But if I can't distinguish between the weeds from the grass, I got a messed up lawn. And it'll stay messed up for a while. So I'm trying to get the women to see the difference between what we used to call in the South Johnson grass and St. Augustine grass and the old weeds that come up that want to destroy the grass.
And that ties right back to my question of was this in an effort to try to assist women to just have a more fulfilling existence as
yes.
it pertains
yes.
relationships, so that they can evolve? Because there are other distractions that we talked about earlier in this interview, such as
yes.
the discrimination, the one dollar for a man to 72 cents for a woman, the vertical,
right.
horizontal ceilings, all of those things are in addition stressors for women to
right.
relationships.
Right.
And so
exactly.
you can say one of those hurdles or obstacles, then you've assisted a lady, a woman, to move forward towards her better potential, her fullest potential.
Exactly. And I must share with you, Daryl, and the listening audience, I remember after one life talk, I had about 6 male students to come up to my desk and say, "Now, look, Dr. Lewis, you got to stop telling these women all this stuff. In a minute, we won't be able to run any game on them." I say, "That's the purpose, my dears." But that's exactly what they told me.
Well, I've read the book, and it's a beautiful read. By the way,
thank you.
For our listeners, and listeners 347-838-9142, if you press 1 on your dial, myself or our engineer will pick up the call and give you an opportunity to express a question or comment towards this dialogue. And that's 347-838-9142. And if you dial that number to listen in, if you press 1 now, we'll see you, and we'll give you an opportunity to comment on this. But, yeah, I haven't read the book. I was you know, piece of work in high school and college, and I did my thing. I won't deny it because there's probably listeners out there. If I did, they would call in and
they'd call you up on it. I understand.
I would have to admit that you really hit some points in there. I'm sure somewhere along the way I fall into maybe one of those categories. I've grown out of it. I like to believe
sure.
I have. But you I can affirm as a male that you hit some points there that are very
all
valid,
right.
Very, from a adult male perspective, having seen a lot of it, you hit them, you really hit them,
right.
But you find them, that psychology course. Some things you may have known but didn't have a word for it, like reverse
right.
psychology. So you get played by somebody who's reverse psychology on you. Psychology course, you recognize it.
Right,
Wait a minute. He's using reverse psychology. That's what we've been studying. So you're giving away, like your student said, you're giving away all the identifiers. It's like putting on those glasses. I saw a movie once where it was a science fiction and guy found a pair of glasses in the garbage can, and once he put them on, he could see all the aliens. And after a while, the aliens began to recognize that he could see them. We have a listener that wants to comment or question, if you don't mind.
Not at all. I love it.
Of our regular listeners here, because I recognize this this number for the engineer. We have a 718 number.
Okay.
738. You're on the air. Are you there? 718-338.
Yes. Thanks for allowing me to come on. Ronald Crenshaw. And
yes.
I've enjoyed the discussion very much. Very
Thank
informative.
You.
I appreciate it a great deal. And I just wanted to say that although sociology is very important for us to understand intergroup relations and things of that sort, but there's one overriding aspect that really we have to also understand, and I think that's about the politics of a given culture, the politics,
mm-hmm.
and to go a little further, is the political economy of a given society. I think these things also must be included, because it's like when you have a class society, you have one class that can dominate or oppress the lower class, and that presents all kinds of friction and mayhem, I might even go as far as to say. It does create a certain amount of mayhem in the
right.
society that we have to deal with. And I think you mentioned a certain aspect of that, as certain people having wealth as others do not. And those who do not have wealth have a much harder interaction that they have to undergo that
right.
That really limits their ability to really fulfill their lives. And I just wanted to bring that in because I think it's very apropos to the society we live in, because we live
sure.
in a class society. One class is able to dominate the other no matter what. And that's what I think people need to also be, kind of understand, that kind of social friction that goes on, such
sure.
as getting a point in question. I won't go any further. A point in question of having a president like the one we have now, Trump,
mm-hmm.
Aggravates the society more so than anything else.
Sure.
So I just wanted to posit that, because that's a given thing that keeps one aspect of the society And, you know, poverty means that you are down and out, even though you may not be down and out actually, but it's something that acts upon the individuals in that manner. You know, and I mean, the outgrowth of those things are having more people in prison because
sure.
of their poverty.
Exactly.
That drives them into prison.
Right.
So
right.
I just wanted to, you know, put that aspect. I think you were very thoroughgoing, though, in your consciousness about men and women's relationships in our culture. I
right,
appreciate
right.
that very much.
Well, we appreciate your comment.
Thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to, you know. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ron. We appreciate that much out of New York City, Ronald.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? He spoke of the economic impact, which you spoke very clearly of. He said that you
right,
can't forget.
Right.
And I think that was
well, three major variables that really impact upon inequality are race, class, and gender.
Absolutely.
Those are the three major variables.
That's, yes, 100%. And
yeah,
was,
yeah. So he spoke to the class part. So if I'm black and a female and poor, oh, my God. I truly have the triple whammy. I got three strikes and I'm out, but I'm trying to hang in.
And
you know, society
triple.
Wants me to be out, but I'm trying to hang in. I know how to be resilient.
Well, speaking of resilience, and back to you know what we were talking about with women and your book even. Women have been dealing with that triple whammy for a long time.
A long time, exactly. A long, long time.
I mean, just generally, globally, women have really, of course, you can speak to it, I'm sure, more thoroughly, you know, going beyond the borders of the United States, have been oppressed. For
right.
centuries upon centuries, and for women to be here now, to be where they are, is a true testament of the resilience of the gender
right.
itself.
Yes,
life.
It kind of reminds me of something Maya Angelou said one time. Somebody asked her, "Why is it when she walks into a room?" That it appears like it's so much, she is so dynamic, she says, because when I walk into a room, it's not just Maya Angelou. You know, it's Harriet Tubman, it's Sojourner Truth, it's Mary McLeod Bethune, it's Dorothy Height. So I think what women will do is we will piggyback off other women. And allow other women's joys and grief and trials and tribulation to give up us that extra keep on keeping on type mentality and behavior. So whenever I'm feeling like I really can't go on, I just go back and say, well, if Fannie Lou Hamer did it, who am I? You know, if Shirley Chisholm did it, who am I? So you go back and you look at what other women have done, what they rose to, and then it gives you so much more impotence, so much more energy, so much more enthusiasm, and it lets you know that I can too. So can I. And that would take you a long way.
Wow.
Using your history to raise you up.
You know,
that's what the women have done.
You spoke on some of those shoulders that women specifically have stood on and reflect back. And I love Maya Angelou. You know, she's doing a special.
Oh, yeah.
I mentioned it last year, PBS. Her bio is on PBS. And folks, I think it's off now. But you'll want to go to PBS and just
just Google it or call the station and get Maya Angelou's bio. There was so much I did not realize. I did not realize that she was much of a civil rights activist as she was. That was the one.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. Wrote 36 books. 30 of them were bestsellers. Now, that's something.
Wow.
Yeah, that's something. Yeah. So inspirational to people of all different walks of life.
Yeah,
she sure was.
What I would love when you return is for you to talk a little bit about some of the work you did with some of our female icons, and specifically Fannie Lou Hamer.
I would love to.
Definitely. Because I know you've done a significant amount of research with her.
Yes.
And if you could speak to some of that, that would truly be appreciated. I have no question about that.
Yes, I would definitely look forward to that. She is one of my favorite icons, and she really helps me out because we have a little similarity. She's from Mississippi. I'm from Louisiana. We are both Libras. And I like her fierce determination to not let anything stop her. You know?
Yeah.
So, she gives me a whole lot of inspiration.
I have Libras
always.
All around. That's interesting. All around, you have Libras. So that's a
yes,
fact.
Yes, yes.
Well,
so
listen.
I would just love to highlight her and all of her achievements and what she did for women voting, black people voting, civil rights, human rights. She was a philanthropist, even though she didn't have that much economically speaking. What she had, she shared. And I have the utmost respect for her and all that she's done for humanity.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to that. After we're off the air, I'd like to, you know, see when your next availability is, maybe before the month is up, not to put you on the spot like that, but we'll talk after the program.
Sure.
I would look so forward to that, because I know you've done a reenactment as well. And I'd like
of her speech at the 1964 National Democratic Convention.
Yes.
That was so powerful. Lyndon Johnson broke into all the TV stations with what he called. He had some special report, but he had to get her off the air. He saw that she was too powerful.
Yeah.
When
yes,
he got her off the air, that's why there's nowhere you can find her entire speech, because he closed down media.
Yeah.
Yep,
well,
that's what he did. So
we are looking to that. There was a listener or two that wanted to reach out. We've run out of time, but you can believe that Lewis will be returning in the not distant future. As soon as we can get her back on the air, we can get her back booked on the air. She will be returning, listeners. Those of you who are tuned in very late, you've been listening to Dr. Lynn Lewis, philanthropist. Speaking of philanthropist, and author, sociologist. And consultant, and a true woman who walks the talk, and just a proof that you just gotta be, you never stop, you keep moving, and
yes.
The book. We go off. Where is the book available?
They can get the book. If Barnes & Noble doesn't have it, because they've had it in the past, you can get it on Amazon.com. All you have to do is type in Amazon.com and my name, Lynn Lewis, or the title of the book, and it'll come up.
And the book is Don't Hate the Player, Learn the Game, How to Spot Ineligible Bachelors. We have
that
been
is
talking
it.
Dr. Lynn Lewis, and it has been enlightening as always, Dr. Lewis. The time has just flown, but that's what happens when you're having fun. And
yes.
We certainly appreciate you. And so we're going to close out. We don't often do that with the same bumper tune that we opened up with. I just love that. It's so appropriate that you just got to be.
with Natalie Cole. So with that said, I want to thank all of the listeners. Thank you, Ron, for calling in. Thank for those who wanted to ask a question. I promise you, give me an email. You'll know when Dr. Lynn Lewis is coming back. Send me an email to Daryl_CLA18@msn.com. That's Daryl spelled Daryl_CLA18@msn.com. When Dr. Lewis comes back, we're going to talk about some of the influences of organizations, specifically those female organizations. And maybe we can even get some representatives to collaborate with Dr. Lewis on a panel and talk about how we can influence our women, especially our young women, to have a greater outlook and a greater perspective for potential, because we got to look out for our youth.
With yes, that said, that's true.
Dr. Lewis, thank you so much for taking some time on.
It's been my pleasure. I thoroughly enjoyed it, Daryl, as always.
Yeah, I think everything is going to be all right if we keep our focus. Tell someone, folks, about Progressive News Weekly, where week in and week out on Thursday evenings from 6:30 to 7:30 or thereabout, as you can see tonight, we bring you news and information that you can truly use. You got to be.
Listen as your day unfolds, challenge what the future holds, try and keep your head up to the sky. Lovers, they may cause you tears, go ahead, release your fears, stand up and be counted, don't be ashamed to cry. You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard, you gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger. You gotta be cool, you gotta be calm, you gotta stay together. All I know is love will save the day. Herald what your mother said, read the books your father read, try and solve the puzzles in your own sweet time. Some may have more cash than you, others have a different view. My, oh, my, hey. You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard, you gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger. You gotta be cool, you gotta be calm, you gotta stay.